elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, D-A-N-D-Z, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D-N-Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO studio.
Hey,
it's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. Have a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Looks like ABS will be in play this season. We are more than halfway through the NBA season, so we can start to talk about MVPs. And the Pistons, they got throttled by the Knicks. I mean, they beat the Knicks, but they got throttled by the Spurs. So what's going on there? We begin today's show with... Wow, we both had this wrong. Both of us said last week that Team USA could not skate with Team Canada, and we were wrong. The Team USA beat Team Canada in overtime in a Jack Hughes goal, 2-1. Sidney Crosby did not play in this game. Canada certainly had many chances to win with over 42 shots on goal. Despite not getting the gold, Connor McDavid still got the tournament MVP. Is that okay with you?
As a tournament, yeah, that's fine.
Who is the best player?
If you score the most, you're going to be... That's what it's going to be.
It's all about scoring?
It's all about scoring. Unless you are like equatorially hot like Connor Hellebuck was in the gold medal
game. That game?
Yeah. If he had pitched a shutout the entire way through, then Connor Hellebuck would have probably gotten the tournament MVP. Like, if you're a forward or a defenseman, you just got to score. And that's going to get you where you need to go. Another interesting moment for Connor McDavid, finishing second best, but still getting the hardware individually. So there's something to be said about that. Overall, both teams were very off. You could see that Canada was missing easy passes. U.S., particularly Austin Matthews, making the extra pass when you didn't need to make the extra pass, holding on the puck a little bit too long. You could credit defensively only so much. You could really credit both sides defensively only so much. At some point, you're trying to be a little too cute. You're trying to try and find the perfect pass. There is no such thing as the perfect pass. Put the fucking puck on the net. Put the puck on the net. Good things fucking happen. Like, that is the basis of all of it. It took some Matt Boldy.
Well, Tom Wilson put somebody into the boards really
damn
early to
right.
Show them we're ready to play this
damn
game.
Damn fucking
jeez.
Right.
Jeez.
And then was it Wilson who got Jack Hughes with a stick? It might have been.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. But, you know, overall, actually, no, it wasn't. Believe it or not, it wasn't. It was
Marner?
It was Sam Bennett.
Okay.
The immortal Sam Bennett from the Panthers.
That
so,
team, man.
Yeah.
Fucking
so, overall, you're looking at it, both sides squeezing their sticks a little bit too tight. It took that Matt Boldy play. It took a little bit of like a Mighty Ducks trick kind of stick handling to get through the defenseman. He did it.
Phenomenal play.
It was a nice, amazing stick handling by Matt Boldy going through Taves, going through McCarr. And, you know, McCarr we'll get back to in a little bit. But it took that little extra bit of skill that, you know, we credited the Canadians for having and kind of downplayed what the Americans had. But hey, they showed up and they played. They did a good job. You know who else showed up? Surprisingly, JT Miller and Vincent
Trocheck. JT
Miller and fucking Vincent Trocheck. They
sure
had
did.
A shutdown
sure
tournament. No power play goals allowed. Good job, guys. Now, here's my problem with that. As a Ranger, right? You're being paid to be a top six guy. But you're showing me your skill level is bottom six special teams. That's a problem. That's a major disconnect when you come back stateside and you have a game on Thursday. Like, what the hell am I paying you for? Like, I'm paying you to be a top six forward. You know, let's see if they can actually do it. But kudos to them. That 5-on-3, Canada should easily picked off three. Easily. But squeezing their sticks too tight. Trying to make the perfect pass. Trying to take the perfect shot. Credit to the U.S. They got their sticks in the passing lanes. Got their bodies in the passing lanes. They did exactly what you need to do and sell out for the game. Hellebuyck was amazing. Hellebuyck finally showed up in a big moment. Like, that's great. That's exactly what Winnipeg expects from him. And he did it on the biggest stage of them all internationally. And then you get to overtime. You get to overtime. Where all bets are off. John Cooper salty about the 3-on-3. It's the first year they're doing it. I understand why. I get it. But you know what?
Listen,
the shootout wasn't good either.
5-on-3 is not hockey either, John. I don't know what the fuck to tell you, man. Like, what do you want? What do you want me to say?
Well, you play Stanley Cup playoff rules. I get it. 5-on-5 continuous overtime until it's over. I understand right where he's coming from. I prefer that. But if this is what was agreed upon,
I would have been fine with 4-on-4. 3-on-3 is like, we want to get this over.
Right. 3-on-3 is NHL regular season before you go to the shootout.
I knew it was going to be over in less than 5 minutes.
Oh, completely. When you have that level of skill and you have that much open ice, forget it. And that's what happened with the Cale McCarr goal.
First, like 30 seconds, because Connor McDavid got the puck. It was going 1,000 miles an hour.
Right.
And coming downhill, I was like, oh, this is a wrap.
But I'm glad you mentioned that.
He whiffed. He completely whiffed on the shot.
He had a few of those. And then on top of that, at the end, bad turnover.
Yep.
And then McKinnon just could not hold on. And all you see when you look at the replay, you see McCarr coasting, not busting it. You see McDavid not busting it back. Your country is
on the line. They were exhausted.
Then you still got to bust it down to get a change.
You got to go, man.
This is it. This is a gold medal fucking game.
I don't disagree with you, but they were exhausted. They were fucking shot.
You got to do something. Then McKinnon needs to take a penalty. Then you got to do it.
Oh, geez. You could tell on the first change, because that first change was right away. Like, I can't breathe.
Exactly. But think about it. You know, you don't need to run. They were running him out there. They were running McDavid out there more than he's playing for Edmonton this year. He's averaging fewer minutes than they ran him out. But you have guys like Suzuki, Stone, Jarvis, Marchand, Marner, Horvat.
Keep going.
Yeah, Macklin Celebrini, Bennett.
Oh, he whiffed. He had
a bad game.
In front of the goalie.
Yes.
In the front of the goalie.
The goalie!
He awful. Awful. He lost the game for them.
Celebrini had a rough game.
Three. Right in front of Hellebuyck that he whiffed on.
Yeah.
Whiffed.
Yeah.
Or missed the net entirely. Like, dude, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
I get it. I get what you're saying. He had a rough game, but you had enough out there. You had enough on this team that you didn't need to run Connor McDavid into the ground. Like, that's the thing. Like, this isn't the Oilers.
They panicked.
This is the national fucking team.
But they panicked.
They did.
They panicked because it shouldn't have been this close, right?
Not at all.
Over 42 shots on goal. They were peppering the net. They were in on it, and they couldn't get it by him. And I think after the second period, they're like, shit, this is a game.
Right.
We're going to have to really try here.
It's like that Herb Brooks speech.
I think they thought they were going to be up 4-1, 3-1 at the end of the first. And the fact that this game was close, they're like, shit.
Yeah. Well, it from jump, man, like it was chippy. It was fast. I don't necessarily know that Canada was prepared for the U.S. to come out as hard and as fast as they did. It looked like
they were
caught off guard, and it took them a few minutes to get.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to take away from what the U.S. did, because they won. Even taking it into overtime was a victory. I was telling my wife while we were watching.
Of course.
We've already won the game. We've won this game. Because we took them into overtime. The fact that we're going into overtime with them again, it's the second time this has happened.
Right.
They should be embarrassed. They're an all-star team that's filled of all-stars, if that makes any sense. Like, of course, we've got a good team, but they've got a great team. Great players play on that other side.
Right.
And, you know, I just felt like if they had Crosby, I do think it's a different game. The U.S. might still win. But I think it's a different game. And it made me look at Connor McDavid a little bit less, because he was, in my opinion, 2 to 3 steps above every player on the ice
until it got to the deliver. Big moment.
He couldn't deliver.
But here's the thing. You juxtapose that, right? You put that with the Four Nations where he scored the golden goal. So what's the disconnect?
It's a huge disconnect. It's a different situation, right? It's a different game. And good for him. You got the Four Nations. You got the best player of the tournament. But you didn't win gold for your country.
No.
So.
And this, like you said, it's not to take away from the Americans. They brought the fight to the Canadians.
No.
They did what they needed to do. Because they, deep down, they know that they don't have the skill to go toe-to-toe. So,
But for one game.
For grit and piss and vinegar and fight and heart.
Nine times out of ten, they beat us. Not tonight.
No.
Not tonight.
Their time is done.
And hats off to the U.S. team honoring Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes.
And bringing out his kids, taking the pictures. Hard not to cry and get very emotional. Seeing his parents in the crowd, seeing his wife in the crowd. I mean, that's why they play the game, right?
Absolutely. And 46 years to the day of the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
You want to talk about some friggin' numerology and you want to talk about signs and all that stuff? Yeah. But there you go. What more did you need? But, you know, take nothing away from Canada. They played their ass off. Binnington played his ass off. He showed up on the biggest stage in the mall. And it shows why he was able to guide the Blues to a Stanley Cup. He can, when you need it, he can find it. The problem is, he doesn't always find it. You know?
Great hockey game.
Wonderful hockey. Great hockey. Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
So the Winter Olympics are over. You know, so much fun. Great Italy landscapes. Great show put on over there. So there were some highs, there were some lows. So what will you remember about these Winter Olympics?
This was, for me, it was all about hockey and figure skating. It was all about the hockey and the figure skating. So
I just want to make a comment that I believe the Winter Olympics are very dangerous.
Okay.
I feel like all those games they play are very dangerous. People could die. People could break legs. Like, everybody can get very, very hurt.
Yes.
I don't find that with the summer games. You know, you have swimming, javelin throws, running, sprinting. You know, I don't see that. Gymnasts, you know,
The gymnast can particularly be dangerous. You pop an ACL. You know, you think about Mary Lou Retton.
I'm talking about death. I mean, Bonham's lost her leg.
Lindsay
cried out loud. She had to get airlifted off of the mountain.
I mean,
had
this was
3 surgeries in 5 days.
Yes, that was not a good way to start the Olympiad. You're 100% right.
Going in the bobsled, Colin Jost said he thought he was going to die. Couldn't believe the speed and velocity that thing was going at. And they weren't even trying to get down the hill in that one. So that's what I mean. The half pipe.
No.
The half pipe is God. And it's snowing, and it's nighttime. Holy shit.
To add the X Games sports to the already dangerous sports was... it's a bit much, because you have luge, you have skeleton, you have bobsled. Scary
skeleton!
Spot. Scary spot.
Skeleton! Holy shit!
Why?
This guy is... He's gonna die! Head first, my man!
My man's got a death wish. Absolutely, he does. But
and then you see them slipping off, and you're like, "Oh my god, he's gonna fall off the damn thing!"
It's the size of a friggin' stretcher.
His head is leading. His head is first.
Right.
It's the first thing to make contact with anything. If you go off the ride, I mean,
it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And you know what?
Hats off to all the Olympians, because that is you have to be a superior athlete to do all those things. You know, we're American and we appreciate baseball, we appreciate basketball, and those are sports. Those are, no doubt about it, those are sports.
Right.
But a Winter Olympics or Olympics in general, that's a special athlete, that's a special talent. It's remarkable the things these people are able to do in, I mean, and some of it was over in seconds. There were people that went down the hill, they missed the first marker and it's over.
Yeah.
You trained 4 years and it is over because you missed the second marker and you, or you fell or you slipped, even the half pipe.
Yeah.
You're doing the half pipe and landed on your butt. It's over.
I think that's what I was watching.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. It was, I think it was the men's half pipe and it was the Australian. It landed on it. Like, I think it was his first jump, landed on his ass. All right, that's it. That's it.
Thanks
he was the favorite. He was the favorite to take it all. He qualified number one, so he got to go last.
Well, so, even the guy we had, I think the quad king.
Quad god. Oops.
Done. Yeah. Bell. Over. Bell twice, actually. Yeah. Thanks for coming, man.
But you know what? Fuck. You had Alyssa Liu. You had Amber Glenn. They showed up. They had a good job. For me, it's about the figure skating, and then it's about the hockey. The women's game was just as good as the men's game, if not better. Hillary Knight scoring late, and then you had Megan Keller in overtime. Bad change by Team Canada, and it was a great game. It was very fundamentally sound all the way around, and that was an amazing performance by the Americans. Grit and toughness again, being down with about 2 minutes to go. And you deliver. You absolutely deliver. And another sport that I got myself watching, I found myself watching it a couple times, and I found a new kind of appreciation for curling. Surprisingly enough, I was intrigued by the curling. I started to understand it a little bit. I'm just like, what is this? It's a rock with a handle and there's a bullseye and what's going on here? And then by the end of it, I'm like, I understood what was going on, and I'm not going to go out of my way to become a curling enthusiast. I'm not going to go to the Ardsley Curling Club, but I can.
They have one of those.
They do. There's one in Ardsley, and I think there's one in Mount Kisco. If I'm correct.
Solid.
But you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I do find myself having a greater appreciation for it. So for me, yeah. Figure skating, hockey, and curling were what kind of stuck with me throughout.
Well, for me, it kind of got off on a bad note because Lindsey Vonn,
yeah.
You know, I really wanted to see her compete. I think we're the same age, which gets, you know, it's kind of wild. And so to see her go down and have such a terrible injury and then, you know, have to get three surgeries, and she tore, I believe she ruptured or tore her ACL 9 days before she even competed, yeah. Which, holy shit, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, and Mikaela Shiffrin kind of disappointed me, too. I mean, she did get the gold, but this chick is supposed to be, like, the best skier, like, in the world, and she constantly just seems to struggle in these moments. I mean, she got gold, so it's hard to complain about that. So that was actually a high point for me. I'm glad I saw her win. I'm a guy that likes to see the best players win. That's what I want to watch. I want to see you complete at the highest level and win. How could you not get, you know, emotional about hockey? I mean, the fact that we beat Canada is just awesome, in the men and women's, you know,
right.
So cool. The American bobsled team not being able to get into the bobsled going down while one of them's in it, two guys fell, and one guy was like, you guys go, man, I'm not going to make it.
Just keep going, Wayne.
That shit was really funny. Yes, curling seemed endless. Every time I played on the Olympics, curling was happening. So that was fun to watch. The skeleton, man, fucking skeleton.
Dude.
I mean, you're just taking your life in your hands. We sucked at the half pipe. I don't think we had anybody make it. I think she maybe got silver. She got silver. One of the girls got silver. I think Miles Garrett's wife or girlfriend got silver.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The new event where you had to carry your skis up the mountain, then do some walking and then slide down the mountain was pretty impressive. So yeah, overall it was nice. I enjoyed Snoop's coverage. I like Snoop. I think it's fun to watch him take it all in and talk to everybody and, you know, give out jackets to Stanley Tucci. And you know, I enjoy NBC's coverage of it. It was good. It's nice to see Norway on top. I think they won the most medals. They certainly won the most gold. You know, it's their sport. I feel like they invented the Winter Olympics, so I expect them to do well.
Well,
you know,
surprisingly, Canada only they were eighth in medals. Their medal count was particularly low, and not many gold.
Pretty low.
Chloe Kim was the name you're thinking
Chloe
of there.
Kim,
Chloe
there,
Kim. She had a really good Olympiad, absolutely. So,
and everybody was competing at a high level. There wasn't any scandals other than them running out of condoms. That's not a bad thing.
I mean, you put people in a place, you know, with nothing to do. You
culture.
Can't
They're
leave.
Learning a lot from one another. They're making other Olympic. They're trying not to make other Olympic athletes. But yeah, good times. I prefer the winter over the summer. So, positive.
I mean, having recently,
like you said, just dangerous sports.
Yeah,
they're just dangerous. They're dangerous. I was watching and I didn't know, even with the skating. You said you like the skating? They're taking women and throwing them up in the air, throwing them across the ice.
Oh, yeah.
People are just landing.
It is dangerous. It's 100% dangerous, but it's so technical. And there's definitely a degree, you know, a degree of difficulty, a degree of danger. But there's also, like, that the unmatchable skill involved. Because you need you need grace. You need timing. It's definitely difficult. It's absolutely difficult. But one person, I think it was a female speed skater got clipped in the face with the blade. So that was kind of a dangerous moment. And that's just kind of,
look out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like that. There's the it underscores what you're talking about, how the Winter Olympics is way more dangerous, and there has that extra added risk.
Speed skating was awesome. Slalom was awesome. I like when they also come the luge.
Yeah,
all good stuff.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Moving on to college basketball. Number 14, Kansas beat number 5, Houston yesterday by 13 in Kansas. This comes after Kansas got blowed out by an unranked Cincinnati team in Kansas, so holy shit. The Jayhawks freshman Darren Peterson has been under scrutiny lately for taking himself out of games and missing games, allegedly to protect his draft stock. Could this attitude steer teams away from making Peterson the number one pick in the NBA draft?
Well, Mr. Peterson is 6'6", 205. He's a freshman. He's averaging 19.5 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists per game. Not good enough to be a pure scorer. Not enough.
You don't think he's the first pick in the draft?
I think you can find somebody better. I'm sure you
can could.
Find, I'm sure you
could.
Find, sure.
I could, but you don't think that he's on everybody's draft board as number one?
He's on the radar, but I think, I don't know, 19.5 is not enough for me. Like,
it's because he's not playing. He's taking himself out of games. You could see him mouthing over to Bill Self, take me out.
So,
take me out.
Yeah. So if he's protecting his draft status, then go shoot your shot, man. Absolutely. That's what you're going to do. Because in the era of NIL, in the era of guys sitting out bowl games to protect their health.
Right.
This is nothing new. However, it's a bad look. It's completely a bad look. If this guy was averaging 25 a game and he's like, coach, I'm done. Something different. But this guy's not, you know, he's averaging under 20 points. He's only 6'6". He's only 205. That's a project. If I'm an NBA team, I'm not investing in a project. with the number one pick with this particular attitude. Like, I'm sorry.
I think,
old school, but like, that's a red flag to me. Like, because if he's doing this now, what's he going to do when he gets to the next level?
Well, that's the thing I'm trying to say is, like, our team's going to say, well, this guy is the best player in college basketball, but
right.
Do we really want to take him if he's sitting out? He's not playing for Bill Self. He's taking himself out of games. What happens when things get tough in the NBA and we're not giving him a new contract?
Right.
He's going to sit out those games.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to tell. That's what I'm trying to say is our GMs who are on the hot seat, you know, after all this tanking, are you going to stick your neck out to draft the best player in college basketball knowing what you know now? Or is this going to be what the regular is, right? Is this going to be what the new NBA is? Because we also see guys now that because the teams are tanking, they're not playing their players.
No.
So if we're tanking, why am I playing tonight? Or if we don't have a chance to win, why am I playing? If you're thinking about trading me, why am I playing? Like, that's the attitude that I feel is going to come out. I feel like, really, to be honest, the two top players coming out in the draft this year, and it's a loaded freshman class. It's loaded. And it's going to be a loaded NBA draft. But I would say AJ DeBanta of Utah and Darren Peterson of Kansas are the two top players. And people would say that Peterson has a better skill set. DeBanta has all the measurables. He's got the height. He's got the length. He's playing for Utah.
Right.
But Peterson, and that's the whole thing, is like, and maybe, just maybe, this might work out for Peterson, right? Because maybe you're not getting taken by the Kings, or you're not getting taken by the
Wizards,
the Jazz, or the Wizards because of your attitude. So you wind up going to a place that's better suited for your skill set.
Kind of like
so
what happened to Ace Bailey last year. Ace Bailey dropped to the Jazz. So there were concerns about his character, and he ended up doing that. Because this ultimately is a character issue. It's not a performance issue. Because when he's on the court, he performs. What you have to be concerned about is, like you're saying, what's going to happen when the shit really hits the fan? Can you trust this guy? And it's one of those things that the greatest abilities are availability and coachability. Can you be those two? If you're available and you're coachable, teams will fall over themselves to do that. Now, that involves a due diligence interview with the kid. It's a due diligence interview with Bill Self. Your scouts need to go in on this. And if you have any sniff, any indication that it's going south, do not take this kid and start fielding some trade calls. Because somebody will. Somebody will, because he's talented.
Well, here's my thing. Is like, but maybe, just maybe, he's already smelled himself, see?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he knows what his weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he knows that, oh, man, they've got me graded better than AJ DeBanta. I better just chill out and not play as much before they realize I'm not as good as that guy. Or what, right?
Right.
Think about it. Hey, man, Kevin Durant took a smell of himself. He knew he wasn't going to win anything in Oklahoma City, and he knew he needed help. He needed a lot of help. Kevin Durant will not win another NBA title.
No.
He won with the Warriors, and that's it.
No.
We could even say the same thing about LeBron James. LeBron James looked at the Boston Celtics like, fuck, I can't do this with Zydrudas Ilgauskas and Mo Williams. I can't do this. But if I go to Miami, where Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are, okay. Now we can play the Celtics. Everybody knows how good they are.
Right.
You can gas yourself up as much as you want. You know, Darren Peterson knows that he's the best player on Kansas. He might be the best player in the Big 12. But he also might know that, man, if I keep playing more, I could get hurt. If I keep playing more, I could be exploited. If I keep playing more, my draft stock will go down. And ultimately, I want to play in the NBA. Ultimately, I want to be the first pick in the draft. And ultimately, I want to make a lot of money.
Right. So
it's hard. It's hard to get mad at the guy. Right.
Well, that's the nature of the business
that we've built.
Right. This is the business we've chosen.
The only problem I have with Peterson is he's already making $3 million to play for Kansas.
True.
Where are you already paying you, motherfucker?
Right.
That's what the money's for. You're supposed to go out there and play for us. So that's the only problem I have, is that if we're already paying you and you're already looking past this step in the process, then I have a problem.
Now, would the school go after him for breach of contract at this point? Because is he living up to his end of the bargain truly? So it wouldn't surprise me if they would try to recoup some of that money. But a team that I'm looking at, in terms of the worst that could possibly luck into the number one pick in the lottery, the Pacers. Could you imagine when Halliburton comes back next year, plus this kid?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And the other thing you have to think about is for him, right, we're Kansas.
Right.
We're ranked number 14. Man, we're going to be in the Big 12 tournament. We're going to be in the NCAA tournament. That's when I'll play hard. That's when I'll play. We're going to get – all we got to do is get there, man. That's all – it's – right? Is he wrong? They're going to get probably what? Maybe a 4 or 5 seed at number 14?
I would say 4. I think a 4. Right. Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Like, that's my only thing is, like, I can see his side, but I can also see the school's side.
Yeah.
And this is just something that has been created with NIL. It's been created with the way the NBA runs itself, and it's been created the way we treat college athletes. I mean, I was listening to Alonzo Mourning talk about when he was like the number one player in the country, and he talked about all these coaches that came to his house and were talking about, okay, you know, your son's going to start for us. If your son is struggling with school, we're going to help him out. We're going to make sure that he has a good job coming out if he doesn't go to the NBA, but your son's probably going to go to the NBA. And then he said John Thompson was the last coach that came to his house. He specifically asked to be the last person to come. And he said when he came, he told my mom, I'm not giving your son anything. He's going to have to work for everything he gets at our school. He's not going to start right away. If he can earn a starting spot, he's not going to start every day. Your son's going to graduate. He's going to be here for 4 years, and he's going to graduate. And if he doesn't graduate, he's going to come back, and he will walk out of this university with a degree. That shit don't happen no more, man. Yep. There's no accountability. Whatever happened to the – wasn't there a rule back in the day where your players had to maintain a certain average? Your players had to, you know, pass certain classes? Carson Beck hasn't taken a class in 2 years. Right.
Well, it reminds me of that movie Coach Carter. You ever seen the movie Coach Carter with Samuel L. Jackson?
I haven't in a long time. Yeah. But yes, I know the movie.
The whole neighborhood, the whole school was up in arms because he wanted them to maintain a 2.7 grade point average. A 2.7! That's failing. A 2.7 is terrible. So, and he wanted them to wear a suit and tie. Oh my God. Terrible.
This bastard.
You son of a bitch.
This is a prison.
Well, I mean, you. Coach, I got to go to class. I got to take tests. I got to do my homework. Fuck, man. What the hell kind of system you running here? But, you know.
What kind of hotel is this? Oh, it's you.
But, you know, to be fair, like, a lot of guys are probably kind of like firmly in low gear and thinking that they can turn it on when it matters most. But the school's allowing it. At the end of the day. So if it doesn't work and they don't turn it on and they don't win, ultimately, this is a deal you made. This is the business you've chosen. And if you go to bed with dogs, you wake up with fleas. Like, that is, you know, that's just the nature of what's going on in college basketball. And if this kid is good enough and if he can assuage some of these fears, he'll be fine. Like, he will be A-okay. But if he's not convincing in the interview and he's, you know, it's a bunch of red flags, we could see him drop. We could absolutely see him drop, not because of talent, but because of character issues.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about, right, your talent will only take you so far.
Correct.
Right. Your talent is the floor and your character is the ceiling of who you are and what kind of player you're going to be.
100%. More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
So moving over to the NBA, the Pistons throttled the Knicks last week, but they got pounded by the Spurs last night, losing by double digits. Was last night a preview of the NBA Finals?
They're two very young teams. That's the one thing that gives me some pause here, is that we've been impressed by the rise of the Pistons in the past two seasons. We knew that the Spurs were going to be better with Wemby. We knew that was going to happen. I don't know if they have gotten the taste of the playoffs yet, and I don't know if they have the ability, being such young teams, to deal with that level. The regular season is a different animal from the playoffs.
And I believe the Spurs are 8-1 against the top three teams in the East and the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West.
Okay, best of seven. See what happens. Right,
they lost to Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
4-1 against Oklahoma City.
And think about Oklahoma City. They didn't win right away. No, that doesn't happen. So you got to learn to win. In the end, you have to learn to win in professional sports in general, because you're going to make stupid mistakes. You're going to, like, run out of gas. That's just part and parcel of being a professional athlete at this level. You got to figure out, like you were talking about before with Peterson, like, when to turn it on, when to turn it off. Because it's the one thing that Tibbs never learned. He tried to go pedal to the metal for every regular season game and every postseason game. And what happened? It got him his walking papers. And it got Jalen Brunson a fractured hand. So it's one of those things that I think it takes time. And I don't expect either one of them to be in the finals. They'll make a run. They'll make a run, absolutely. But the Celtics, they're in second place right now, right? They've done it. Would it surprise me if they made it back? No.
They're doing this without Jason Tatum.
Without Tatum. That's what's impressive to Jaylen Brown. We're going to get to him in a second. But the Thunder, the reigning defending champions, they've got a taste for it, right? Can they do it? SGA's been in and out. Jackson has been in and out. Can they do it? They did it. They've already done it.
Nuggets are very good.
The Nuggets are very good. The Rockets, right? The Rockets have enough veteran
They lost a terrible game to the Knicks.
Yeah, but you
terrible.
Know what?
I watched that whole game. It was awful.
But you know what? A motivated Kevin Durant can take them a long way. And when was the last time we saw a motivated Kevin Durant, though?
Kevin Durant is not winning anything. He can play all he wants. He's not winning anything. Especially in that Knicks game. It's like, dude, where are you? He dribbled the ball out of bounds. Like, where the fuck are you going? And then he did two charges into Brunson. Where are you going, man?
No, the Knicks definitely took it from them. Bringing in Sochan, bringing in Alvarado, have turned out to be really good defensive moves.
Alvarado's
Christ a the King. Beast.
He's played for Christ the King.
Yeah, man. And he's a defensive beast. Would it surprise me if the Knicks finally broke through? No. Honestly, no. In the Eastern Conference, it's wide open right now. Any of these teams, I could even make an argument for the Cavs with Mitchell and Harden. I can make an argument that they could be.
Oh, you like it. You're liking that group.
Am I liking it? No, but can I make an argument that they can pick off a couple guys and get to the finals? Sure. The only one I'm not
back on the show.
The only one that I'm not totally sold on in terms of like the top of the top teams, I'm not in love with the Lakers. Like, I haven't been in love with the Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers are trash.
Right.
They're
fifth in the Western Conference.
Oh, they're trash.
So they can make it. You can make it. You absolutely can. It's not like they're going to be in the play-in tournament.
Luka Doncic does not play defense.
He does not, but he scores.
He scores all he wants. You have to play defense. They're not a top team. I'd say the top teams in the West are the Spurs, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. That's it. Those are the only three teams that could win the championship in the West.
Well, the Nuggets.
After watching the Knicks drop the Rockets, forget them.
So then, awful. I'm you know, the Nuggets are a very good team. Age and injuries. Always with them. With Murray, with Jokic, you got to be concerned about that. So for me, of the ones that are out there in the West, I think we're going to see the Thunder again. I think we're just going to see them again. East is wide open. Would it surprise me if the Celtics were there? No. The Knicks? No. The Cavs? No. The Raptors would be a huge fucking surprise.
Cavs, another team.
Yeah.
Harden does not play defense.
No. He doesn't, but they score.
The Celtics are good, and the Knicks are good. I'd say the Knicks are good. And I'd say the Pistons are good. I've seen the Pistons play a couple times. The Pistons just, I think they need another guy, which is too late for that.
Right.
But they need another scorer to help Cade out. He can't do it every night, man.
No, and that's the downfall. That's what the thing is.
Right. Like, he'd have to go on some Dirk Nowitzki type run to will his team to a championship. And I don't know if there's any player in the league that could do that right now.
No, honestly. But
I mean, people sleep on that Dirk. That I think it was 2010 or 2011 maybe, but I mean, he went through everybody. He went through Kobe and Powell. He went through the Oklahoma City Thunder. Uh-huh. He went through Durant and company, and he went through LeBron and Wade and Bosh and won.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that, man. It's not, you know,
there's nobody in this league. Maybe Wemby could do it. Maybe. But that would, you know, that's a lot of pressure on a kid that young. I mean, when Dirk did it, he was a seasoned veteran. So it would be impressive. I would definitely say it's impressive. Highly unlikely, but you know, all you have to do is get in. All you have to do is get in, and all bets are off.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that could be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
So we're more than halfway through the NBA season, and LeBron thinks that Jaylen Brown should be considered for the MVP this year. This came after Boston beat the Lakers in LA last week. With more than half of the season over, who is your MVP this far into the season?
Yeah, so I really like Cade. I think I watched him drop 40 on the Knicks, and it was incredible. It was incredible. It's hard not to like Wemby.
Yeah.
He's just a problem. Like, he can do it all. He can score. He can defend. He affects the game in so many ways, right? I like the Joker. How could you not? And it's like, it's almost like a LeBron thing where
he's averaging a triple double.
We could just give it to him every year. What he does as a big man from a scoring perspective, a rebounding and passing, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. But if I had a vote, which I don't have a vote, it would be Jaylen Brown. It really would, because he's doing this without Tatum. They're in the mix. And it's not just because I just bought his jersey. It's not why I'm saying it.
Sure.
Friend of the program. He's averaging almost 30 points a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And again, he's a problem. He's a defensive problem. He's a guy that gets to the rack and scores. He can shoot. Seems like a great team player. Seems like a great leader. He just has all those things going for him. So for me, it would be Jaylen Brown.
I mean,
at this point,
you really can't go wrong with what any of those guys that you're talking about here.
Cade is his game from thinking about when he got drafted to playing on all these shitty Pistons teams. He's really got an array of moves and weapons, and it's almost like it comes easy to him. Like the passes, the shots, the layups. It's like he's not even trying. So he had a bad game against the Spurs where he missed a lot of shots. But I think he's tired. He's been whooping ass for like 7 days, you know? But yeah, I mean, that's where I am at.
That's fair. It's all about for valuable, right? If you take them off the team, are they as good? If you take Cade Cunningham off of the Pistons, are they as good?
No.
Not even close. If you take Wembanyama off of the Spurs, are they not even close? No.
I think they're still a good team.
But not even. But he puts them into another stratosphere.
Oh, yeah. He puts them into another echelon.
Right.
For sure.
He you know, they don't reach that stratosphere without Wemby.
Yeah.
Jokic is averaging a triple-double, man. Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? It's a cheat code.
Every year.
Point.
Just give it to him.
It's a cheat code. It's an absolute cheat code. I mean, SGA, think about the year that SGA had last year unseat Jokic. And even then, there was an argument that you couldn't make to get Jokic his MVP again. Doncic, great offensive numbers. Dude, don't play defense. So it doesn't matter.
Forget him.
Yeah.
Forget him.
Jaylen Brown, considering the circumstances without Tatum, definitely, absolutely. Even Kawhi is kind of playing himself in, but they won't give it to him because of the no-show job situation. You know?
And he's having the best year of his career.
Yeah.
If he still had Harden, they would probably be a serious contender for a championship.
If he didn't bitch out of the Clippers? Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fucking joke that is. But for me, I'm probably going to have to give it to Jokic again. Like, as you know, as trite and as predictable as that is, like, he's the most well-rounded of them all, you know? And we've seen, we know what it's like without him, that they're just not, they're not even close to the same team. Not even close. Because even with Jamal Murray there, nope, you don't have the big fella. So for me, I'm going Jokic 1, probably.
Ooh.
Jokic 1, Wemby 2,
whoa.
Cade 3.
Whoa!
Probably Cade 3. Dude, the Pistons, we've been talking
now about. Where's Jaylen Brown, man?
I mean, this is loaded, so probably 4. Like,
wow.
You have these. You're going to do right with any of those picks. But when you think about where the Pistons were and where the Pistons are, that's Cade Cunningham, man. That's it. Like, and Wembanyama has totally delivered on his promise. And, you know, Jaylen Brown is playing like friggin' Superman because he doesn't have his running buddy.
Well, he's Robin, isn't he?
Supposed to be. But in the absence of Batman, Robin needs to step up.
He's Nightwing.
Yeah, that's fair. Jason Tatum is Batman. Jaylen Brown is Nightwing. We'll go with that comparison. But for me, I'm going tried and true. I'm going Nikola Jokic. You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pink J Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pink J Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Let's move over to baseball. Looks like ABS will be in play this season.
Ho ho! Woo!
Allowing players to challenge home plate umpire calls, teams receive 2 challenges per game, retaining them if they're successful. Only pitchers, catchers, and batters can initiate the challenge. So, with that, the virtual strike zone that fans usually see when they watch the game will be there, but it will no longer highlight balls and strikes. So, how excited are you for ABS next season?
That has nothing to do with the gambling, right? It has only to do with the ABS.
So, they're saying that they're taking it away because they don't want to give advantages to teams to be able to challenge a call. Meanwhile, the manager can't challenge a call, but he can, you know,
right?
He can shout from the dugout to get, you know, the catcher to challenge the call.
I'm sorry, I got a little thing in my
right. So that's what they're trying to eliminate.
Today, I believe the Yankees converted on seven ABS calls. So everything you did to speed up the game, we're just going to undo it with the, you know, and
oh,
it was overturned
gosh.
By
did
a,
not know that.
A fucking millimeter. And a millimeter. Like, this is going to go like when they just lift the cleat off of the base. And, oh, you're going to slow it down. You're going to blow it up that much. I can see this being very bad. I can see this being very good. Very good in that you're going to get the calls right. Very bad, and that's going to slow the game down so much. Now, yes, they're quick. They are quick. But it's unlimited? That's going to be a problem. I mean, Juan Soto will do it like 4 times in an at-bat. And usually he's got a pretty good eye.
It's like you get to keep it if you're successful.
Right.
And, so as long as you're successful, you'll keep him.
Right. And Juan Soto has one of the best eyes in baseball. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's doing it like 3 or 4 times in at-bat. So I don't know, man. I think you need a little bit. I think it needs to be fine-tuned a little bit. I think it needs to be like a coach's challenge type system. You're limited to a certain number. And then, you know, I get the you keep it or lose it kind of thing. But I don't know. Like, there's got to be some sort of cap on this. Because otherwise, it's just going to go on forever. I can totally see that. Where you're going to have a pitcher tap, and then you're going to have a hitter tap, and you're going to have a catcher tap, and then the fans are going to tap out because it doesn't matter. It's just like, dude, hurry
up. The whole thing is if we know what a ball and a strike is, why the fuck
but we don't.
Do I have to tap my helmet?
But we don't. And neither do the umps. Neither do the umps.
What do you mean the umps don't know?
No, like Aaron Judge, you're getting his shins are being called strikes.
It's a strike.
To who?
Oh, you're saying because the
because he's so fucking tall.
He's tall.
Because he's so tall, like he's being unfairly targeted by the.
He's unfairly targeted.
He's unfairly targeted because he's 6'8". He's a giant. My man is a fucking giant.
I mean, listen, it's nice to have the umpire back there, but we're just past this, man. I shouldn't have to tap my helmet to get the motherfucking call right, Z. I shouldn't have to do that.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. And I like seeing it on my stream when I watch the games, and I like knowing that something's a strike versus a ball.
Yeah.
And so I don't. Why are you taking that away from me? Like, let's just leave it in and just call the damn thing a strike. If it's a strike, I don't need an umpire back there. And, you know, the other thing is, then just get rid of it. Don't have it at all. No. I'm completely fine with just relying on the umpire to make the ball and strike calls and living with that. Let's live with that. You want to maybe just do it for the 9th inning? Or you want to do it for, like, the 8th inning? Sure. But for the whole fucking game? Come on. No, that's not too much to ask.
I don't know. It's just
maybe just for the playoffs. How about just for the playoffs? It's 162 fucking games.
I just don't see how this is going to end well. I get it. They went through the Atlantic League. They did it in the minors, and there was a success rate. I just don't see how it's going to end. I can see being in a tap off, like a pitcher and a hitter are just going to be in a fucking tap. Right. They're just going to tap their, they're just going to keep, go tap yourself. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, can we please just move on? Can we please do that? But, it would be nice in that it minimizes idiots like CB Buckner, who are terrible at their jobs, but somehow get to keep them.
Terrible.
He is. He's routinely the worst umpire, not named Angel Hernandez, and now he's the worst because Angel retired. So it's one of those things that it minimizes guys who are awful at their job, but it also kind of minimizes the guys that are good at their job too. I think Jordan Baker is one of the better umps in the league. Doesn't really, you know, like, okay, that's fine. But
we've talked about this before. Baseball is the one sport where we can literally get it right every time.
We could.
We have the ability to get it right every fucking time without slowing the game down at all.
Yeah.
You can move to umps, robo umps for the plate, and you can also have something in the ball to determine if somebody's out at first base. And that's the other problem, is that replay has gotten so technical that now it's like, well, the ball has to be in his glove. Meanwhile, they slow it down to the point where the ball's like right here.
In the glove.
Well, it's not in the glove.
It did not
actually
contact the leather.
It did not contact the glove yet, so my man is safe. Come on. That's not what this is about.
Right. But it's like I was talking about before. Like, the guy comes off a millimeter off of the base with his cleat. You're out. But if you have to zoom in that closely, you're abusing the technology.
That's not what this is about. That's not what it's about. And that's the whole thing that I guess it must be a union thing that I'm not understanding, because you are the only sport, literally only sport of the four, that can literally get the call right every time. We can get the call right every time, but we choose not to. We choose to rely on a 80-year-old or 70-year-old man behind the plate in 95-degree weather looking over a man's shoulder at a ball coming in 102 miles per hour and determining if it is a strike or where across the plate
in a tenth of a second
and where it is in line with the batter.
Right.
Come on. Come on, man. Come on. You're being ridiculous. That's a clownish question, bro.
No.
Like, what do we... Come on. Come on.
That being said, you know, we've been complaining about umps for so long that it's worth a shot at this point. You know, it avoids like the Eric Greggs of the world, that the horrific strike zone, you know, against the Braves that one time.
Oh,
you know, like, my man
that game is wild. That was like Naked Gun.
Yeah. My man had dinner reservations. He was going to Joe Stone Crabs. Like, hurry up. Let's go. Bum.
Close enough. You're out.
He was in the other batter's.
He didn't even throw the ball yet.
But, you know, it definitely, it has potential. I'm willing to let it play out. I am very skeptical and I am very worried. But I do.
Or how about this? If the Yankees go 5-for-6 or 6-for-7, can we change the ump?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Can we pull either a guy in from the stands or one of the guys on the field to replace him? He's missing too many that we got to tap our helmet this many times. This is ridiculous.
That's a fair question. If we have to go to the bullpen,
he could just be having a bad day.
Yeah,
everybody has a bad day, and that's okay. But come on, we just keep tapping our helmet here.
It's also going to reduce the number of manager ejections over calling balls and strikes. Because you're not, you know, you can't, how are you going to argue balls and strikes now? There's a literal overlord who is telling you, no, it was actually a ball.
Oh, you're trying to say if they went to full robo-arm.
Not even now. It's like, if it's overturned, like, Boone can't lose his gasket if it was a strike, if it was called a strike, but it's actually a ball. Like, if it gets overturned, it gets overturned. You can't argue this shit.
Right. But what happens when he runs out of challenges?
Then
which could happen.
And at that point,
then he's going to get upset with the umpire. But that's his I own guess fault. You're right, because if he blows his wad in like the first three innings, right. then you kind of got to you gotta
learn.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to learn as the manager when to pick,
pick
your spots.
It should cut down on ejections. It should.
It should. Absolutely. So we're going to see how this plays out. But I mean, we're shooting a bunch of holes in this fucking thing, and it hasn't even really started yet. And, you know, the one thing I do appreciate was when the Mets did it. It was, I think, Nolan McLean and Juan Soto, and they broke it up with some rock, paper, scissors. So that's fine. So I'm all for whimsy. That's fantastic. But there's a lot that leaves to be desired and a lot more questions than answered right now. But I'm willing to give it a go. Why not?
Molly Bee's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly Bee's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ, and you could be using that at mollybz.com.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right
now. All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and it's either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one, the Atlanta Falcons were smart to franchise Kyle Pitts.
Why? Why? What were you worried about? Who's going to take him from you? Who's going to pay him? This guy is robbing the Falcons. And the Falcons are about... They announced today that they're going to let Kirk Cousins go. Penix is hurt. I don't know who's playing quarterback for them next year. But you want to go and franchise tag Kyle Pitts? And last year was the first real year that he was good.
Right.
And I use that term loosely because they didn't make the playoffs. And I think he only had 6 touchdowns.
It's bullshit.
So I'm going to say, yeah, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit. No, it's complete bullshit. We're still waiting.
$16.5 million for 2026? Are you kidding me, man?
88 receptions, 928 yards, 5 tutties. That was last year. His career.
We're not in the business of letting good, really good players. Well, Kirk Cousins, like, you, bro.
I'm confused by all of this, bro. I mean, mediocre at best. You're looking at, he's not even at 4,000 yards for his career. He only has 15 career touchdowns. Where is this generational unicorn? Where is this guy? He is another underachiever. Drake London hasn't been great down there either. You really got Bijan, that's it. Right, Drake London has had his moments, but Pitts?
Another guy that might get franchised is Breece Hall.
Oh, okay.
If I'm Breece Hall, I'm like, if you franchise me, I'm driving my truck right through the front of this fucking complex.
You better be ready to fucking trade me.
Go.
You better be ready to fucking trade me.
Let me go.
God
please.
Damn it. God damn it. But this is the production that gets you $16.5 million.
Get away.
No, you can't. Absolutely not. Like, we're not going to let you go. Fuck. God damn it. Meanwhile, the Super Bowl MVP, they're like, go, man. I've had it.
Later, dude.
Thanks for playing. Thanks for the memories, man.
Thanks for the memories, man. And we're selling the fucking team, too.
Jeez.
Not only are we letting you go, we're selling this bitch.
We're burning this thing to the ground.
We're out of here.
We got it. We got what we came
for. We got what we came here for. This is over.
Oh, my God. But Kyle Pitts, no. No, absolutely not. Complete bullshit. Bullshit or no shit, number two. Very similar. The Cowboys should franchise George Pickens.
I don't think they need to. I mean, listen, he was good, but they're going to be good without him. I don't know, you know, what the hang up is. So I'm gonna say bullshit on this. You have a number one.
Mm-hmm.
He is a number one, but you're not. You shouldn't be paying him to stay. I would let him go. I don't. This is something they're leaning towards. They haven't exactly done it, but get a guy through the draft. Get a guy in free agency. He didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
He didn't play well. Actually, he did play well for them. I think he led their team with receptions and receiving yards. But you don't need him.
So 93 receptions, 1429, 9 tutties. Easily one of, if not the most productive season of his career. I'm thinking no shit on this. Like, Javonte Williams was good for them. They brought him back. You pair him with CeeDee Lamb again, you might be on to something here offensively.
Like the Yankees, they're running it back.
They're running it back.
It's going to be better this time?
Well, it's not that it's going to be better this time. It's going to be that other teams are going to fall back to the pack a little bit. The Commies are what they are. Like that, if they can't keep Jaden Daniels healthy, they're a bottom feeder. The Giants, same thing. If they can't keep Dart, Scadaboo, and Neighbors healthy, they're a bottom feeder. Right? I love Jameis Winston, but I don't think, you know, if all these guys get hurt, it's going to be a repeat of this year. And then you have the Eagles. Yeah, Lane Johnson might be coming back, but you're probably shipping off A.J. Brown. You have another year of tread on Jalen Hurts. You have another year of tread on Saquon Barkley. They could start slipping a little bit. And there's always that friction between Sirianni and pretty much everybody on the team. So it's one of those things that eventually the welcome wears out. So the Cowboys could stay relevant and stay in the hunt. And I think having that two-headed monster plus a good solid tight end plus Javonte Williams, they could make some noise. We'll see. So I think it is no shit that they should franchise him. And, you know, you could roll the dice in the draft, but I think you're probably better off with what you got going on over here.
We'll get Tyreek Hill.
Oh, Jesus. And his rebuilt leg. Yeah, we'll see.
The bionic leg.
My man, the $6 million man right there. Bullshit or no shit. Number three. The new UFL rules will make it to the NFL.
Bullshit. I think they're trash. You know, some of the things they're sporting is only needing in 1 foot for a catch. All penalties in the red zone are half the distance. There was 4-point field goals. And those were the headline. 4 points for 40-yard plus field goals, I believe it is. These are all gimmicky. I don't think these are things that are... These aren't football. If you want to put these in and do this, then that's your amateur league that you have. You want to become the Atlantic, you could do that. But I just think it's too gimmicky for me. I think they'll lose viewership over it. It's just not football, you know? So I would take the – I don't think so.
I'm going to say no shit, and I don't think all of them are going to make it, but I think eventually some of them will. And a lot of – and you have a very valid point of view. That point of view was also shared by people in the NBA who thought the ABA was way too out there because they had the three-point shot. And then what happened? Not only did they allow the three-point shot in, but the three-point shot has taken over the sport of basketball to the point where it is wholly unrecognizable and terrible. But I could see the merit in the four-point field goal if it's 60 yards. Now, you and I talked offline about this. Like, you definitely need to kind of...
Decentivize.
You have to decentivize it, because what's going to happen is you're going to have to lose... You know, they're going to lose yardage and luck into more points. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So, you had a great idea, whereas if you miss it, you lose 3 points. I really like that idea. You do need to kind of like take the... You got to up the ante here. You got to add some risk to it. And I think that one is... That's a good little addendum to what they already have. The 1 foot catch, I like that. We still don't know what a fucking catch is, so hey, why not? Let's go for it. I like the half the distance to the goal penalties. I think that's going to happen. It kind of streamlines and simplifies things. The tush push, let's see. Let's look at the numbers and see if the offensive line, let's see if their health improves. It's worth looking at. And I don't mind that they're the Atlantic League. I don't mind that they're the test tube. I really don't mind that they're the lab for the NFL rules. Now, yes, there goes your credibility. There goes your fandom. But at the same time, you got to be willing to take some risks. And, you know, the NFL makes their annual points of emphasis during, you know, the two games in the preseason. And then it's like, all right, back to normal business as usual. Everybody just kind of like ignores the points of emphasis by week one. So why not? Let's give it an extended look. Let's see what it comes up with.
I just don't think we need to keep changing the game. Like, just leave the game alone. Like, for the first 40 years, how much did we really change the game? Like, let's let pigs lie, whatever the saying is. I don't know what a catch is. You're right. I don't. The only thing I'd like to see implemented in the NFL is just a running clock. Just keep the clock running. Maybe do like under 4 minutes or under 2 minutes. You can have it stop for incomplete passes. And I like the idea of, you know, only – I like the idea of maybe stopping the clock on negative plays or plays that don't gain yards. So that forces a team, even if you're winning, that you can't kneel out the clock to win the game. You're going to have to do a running play or move forward, you know, to finish a team off.
It adds a little bit of excitement too, especially if you're only down by a point. Like, you have to see the whole thing out.
It's just a bitch move, yeah. Right? It's like, because technically, if you're winning with under 2 minutes to go and the other team doesn't have any timeouts, you can kneel out the clock.
Right.
That sucks. You know, you're just going to kneel for 2 minutes just because I ran out of timeouts. You're a bitch. In Madden, you're a bitch. You know,
yeah.
Like, run the ball. Run the ball and see what happens. Like, all you do is run the ball, gain yards. Gain yards on us. Gain yards on us now. You know?
You know who wouldn't like that? Now that I'm thinking about it, the gamblers probably wouldn't like that.
No. No, they wouldn't.
No. And I don't think they would be too keen on that
rule. No, they would not.
But you know what? It would make for better football. It is akin to, like I said offline in our production meeting, we were talking about dribbling out the clock at the end of the game in basketball. Go. Attack. Attack. Try and score. But who loses that? The gamblers that bet the over. Or the gamblers that bet the under. Mm. So I can see where that would be a little bit of a bone of contention, but hey, if you're betting on the UFL, like, what more do I need to say here? So I think it's no shit that some of them will make it. It's just the evolution of the sport, for good or bad. You know, a lot of things are usually looked at with a little side eye and a little bit of derision, and then you don't know how the game ever existed without it. Like the forward pass. You know? It's a totally different game with a forward pass. But somebody had to think about that and somebody had to try it. And if the UFL is going to do it, then, you know, the UFL is going to do it. More power to you.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Deep?
I don't, but Derek Carr is the king of the Alleged Superstar.
My
just,
man.
Just to say.
My man, Derek Carr. Absolutely.
We'll be here all night. Be sure to tip your waitress.
Try the veal. The Derek Carr Alleged Superstar of the Week Award goes to Woody Johnson.
That guy.
This son of a bitch. This some bitch right here. In the words of Scott Steiner, who just followed us on X, that's awesome. Big Papa.
Yes!
Big Papa.
Yes, Scott, come on the
Holla.
Show.
Holla.
Big Papa Pump. It's your hookup.
Holla.
Holla. You hear me?
Holla. That fat some bitch. That fat some bitch.
That'd be so awesome.
That's amazing.
Get Papa Pump on the show.
That's fantastic. But alas, Woody Johnson. Alas, Woody Johnson, you some bitch. Yeah, so instead of trying to make your team better and make your image better, you just went to Raj and say, hey, can you just get rid of this thing?
Like, make this go away.
Please, let's do that for me. Please do that. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
Okay, so first up, I've got Matty Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yes.
Fighting each other on September 19th. 11 years after their first bout. Who the fuck cares? And who asked for this? I really want to know who asked for this. I don't want to see this. In fact, their first fight is the reason why I will never pay for another boxing fight again. I just... 11 years later? They're old. I don't want to see this. This is such a money pull. This is such garbage. So I'm going to say Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather Jr., and anybody else who actually wants to see this, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I'm going to go with your boy, Connor McDavid. You may have been the best player in the Olympics, and you may have won the Four Nations Cup, but man, you failed to win the gold for your country, and you haven't won a Stanley Cup yet. You, my friend, are the Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Jordan Westberg. Who? Yeah, exactly. He's the second baseman on the Orioles who just constantly just gets injured for nothing. He was on my fantasy team last year and he never played. This year, we're only in week two of spring training. He has an elbow issue and he'll be out until May. No, he's not a pitcher. He's a second baseman. How the fuck did you hurt your elbow? Jordan Westberg, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, I got a couple of comments there. So, Pacquiao Mayweather. Let's start with that.
Stay one of the first week.
We'll get to him in a second. But Pacquiao Mayweather.
You're calling me a bitch.
I'm saying, you're saying I'm a bitch. But Pacquiao Mayweather's coming off of the Mayweather-Tyson fight. So there's going to be, what are we doing here? Like Mayweather's coming out of retirement. He's going to do this again. Like, why? And I think Jake Paul Productions are doing it. I think it's MVP Productions. So it's just going to be another shit show.
As fuck's sake.
You know, at that point, you know, I think also that's the same. I think Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey are also doing something very similar. And I think Jake Paul MVP is promoting that too. So good on you, I guess. But yeah, nobody, who wants to see that? I wanted to see Carano and Ronda Rousey 10 years ago.
Right.
I wanted to see Pacquiao Mayweather 15 years ago.
Right.
I didn't want to see it now. I think that's a major problem. And as far as Westberg goes, I'm just like, come on, man. Did he go in and say, Skip, I need surgery?
Dude. My elbow hurts. Going to the nurse.
Just like, did he just do that? Did he just pull a Rendon?
Already?
This guy just pulled a Scott? Did he pull a Rendon?
Scott here, man.
This guy
May?
Just, what?
It's fucking February.
God,
90
God
days?
Damn it. God damn it.
For what?
So
you play second base. It's not like you play third. It's not like you're playing the outfield. You have the shortest throw.
Oh my God.
God, I hope it's your throwing arm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Imagine if it wasn't. Well, that becomes an issue because you do need to swing the bat. But, you know, my first alleged superstar, I'm going to start with the second baseman, Kyler Murray, coming out refuting reports that the Arizona Cardinals GM has reached out to you to kind of debrief after the season. And it's sowing a little bit of distrust, right? Like, he's rumored to be on the block. The Jets might be interested. The Dolphins might be interested. Maybe the Falcons will kick the tire on the second baseman. But at the end of the day, Austin Fort and Kyler Murray, this is not going to end well. And all you had to do, Kyler, was say no comment. All you had to do was say no fucking comment. Kyler Murray, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Inter Milan, eliminated by Norwegian side Bodø Glimt today in the Champions League. Why is no big deal, right? They get eliminated. It happens. This team, Bodø Glimt, has not played a league game since November. And they knocked your ass out. 5-2 on aggregate. They've knocked off Man City. They've knocked off Atletico Madrid. And they got you twice. That is not Champions League material right there. And this is the first time Bodø Glimt has ever qualified for the Champions League. So, what the fuck? You're Inter fucking Milan. You're Serie A champions. Like, this is what you're supposed to be. Well, now you're on a plane going home. Inter Milan, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Gianluca Prestiani, who? Argentine soccer player for Benfica. Going back to Champions League, Vinny Jr. scores for Real Madrid. And all of a sudden, Mr. Prestiani covers his mouth. Maybe he has a cold, something. Just trying not to snot rocket on the field. No. Apparently, he was saying racial epithets towards Vinny Jr. At which point, Vinny had to go get the ref's attention and stop it. You know, the game was stopped, and he is suspended for the match tomorrow. And it's all just absolutely ridiculous. All you had to do was not be a fucking racist. Just all in that moment, all you had to do was just not be a fucking racist. That's it. Sorry, kid. He's only 20. Sorry, kid. All you had to do was not be a fucking racist. But alas, here we are. Gianluca Prestiani, and for that matter, Jose Mourinho, after the fact, did not handle it well. We'd have multiple players who did not handle it well either. Pundits, like, oh, we had worse stuff said to us. Like, that's not what we're talking about right now. That's not what we're talking about right now. So, first it was a gay slur. Well, that was his defense. That was his defense. It wasn't racist. It was a gay slur. Oh, that's even better. Dude, I'm going to get you a shovel. Just keep digging. Just keep fucking digging, kid. Gianluca Prestiani, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Rob Podcast. Go to our X poll at Fade Rob DNZ and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.